Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Owen Dillon Nina, REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel, and REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We'd love to know your thoughts. I'm sure you'll share them with us. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Needless to say, hurling will take centre stage tonight. We'll be concentrating on the game in the Gaelic grounds yesterday. Limerick 227, Tipperary 18 points. Tells its own story. We'll have analysis to come between now and maybe quarter to eight, after which we will be looking and focusing on the Tipperary minor camogie team, who were All-Ireland champions after that great win over Waterford at the weekend. Good win as well for Tipperary footballers, also defeating Waterford in the Munster Championship. And we'll have some soccer with Barry before we go off air. Love to know your thoughts. Text coming in already from about half six onwards. The text machine has been pretty busy already this evening. That number again is 083 311 3311. You can also use that number for WhatsApp, and if you prefer Twitter, our Twitter handle is at TipFM Sport. Let's go straight to it and let's hear from Liam Cahill, who cut a rather dejected and forlorn figure. You can hear it in his voice when he met the assembled media, and there's a lot to unpick from this, so I would ask you to perhaps maybe listen to what Liam has to say after his reaction yesterday afternoon.
One of utter disappointment and disgust, I suppose, and everything else that goes with the manner of a defeat like that. You know, what do you do? We have 6 days now to turn it around, turn the page, and try and get our heads around going to a very difficult assignment in Welsh Park in 6 days' time.
What aspects disappoint you the most?
Oh, Shane, where do I start? Like, you know, again, our energy levels, I just can't understand it. You know, we just seem to be that little bit off the pace, just looking in at a team that really are just kind of, you know, hurling in hope, like, and that's an awful place to be when you're coming into the lines then here to the All-Ireland champions into their backyard. You need to be absolutely convinced that you're going to take that ball, whether it be in a ruck or whether it's out of the air or whether you're taking on your man. You just have to be so sure of what you're about. And, you know, look, again, I say it, like, these boys are training fierce well, but I don't know what's the case with them coming to the match day feed. It just doesn't seem to be happening for them. But look, we'll stay with them. We'll stay sticking with them. There are a lot of, you know, newer guys in there today again, and it's, you know, I suppose in hindsight, like, we have to put real perspective on this. You know, we made massive gains very quickly last year, got a quick bounce, but I think it's really coming to fruition now to everybody that this thing is going to take a little bit of time until this team totally transitions into I suppose, a new established side. And there's a good bit of lessons to be learned for everybody involved to make that happen.
You turned it into that game early on with hits and tackles, and it felt like you were keeping pace with them.
Yeah, we did, but again, there was a 5 or 6 minute period where suddenly we went from maybe one down or two down to four or five all of a shot, you know. So, yeah, look, you have to take everything that's on offer at this level, and I know the wind was difficult, but, you know, I just felt our energy again of supporting the man on the ball, and especially getting to breaks there in the second half. There was an amount of breaks just picked up easily by Limerick around that middle area that we just couldn't get a handle on. And look, it's there. There's no doubt we have the players. It's just to get them all switched on the same day is the thing. And, you know, we're going to work hard over the next couple of days now to try and make that happen for a massive game in Welsh Park in 6 days' time.
Did you feel like you were right in the mix?
We felt we had a chance, but we always felt that we were still kind of hurling at half throttle, really, you know. We felt we were still in the game. There was 4 points, as you said. And then the net rattles down here with the Glenn goal really just sucks the life out of you. And I think really we didn't really respond to that well at all after the Glenn goal, to be fair.
Liam, just you mentioned kind of the lack of energy. Was that a surprise to you, or could you sense it at all coming into today or in the warm-up or anything like that?
No, Paul. I their touch, everything was good in the warm-up. It's just, I don't know, it's Munster Championship hurling. You have to be ready to battle, and these lads will battle. You know, we're not going to take this line down. We're going to, you know, there's still 6 points on offer. People have to remember that. 6 points on offer, you know, there are 3 big games. Yes, we'll be underdogs in every single one of them. you know, we'll be going to Welsh Park next weekend, as I've said, a Waterford team that have really found their mojo now. It looks like, you know, the players have really in Waterford, you know, gone after a style of play that suited them really well in the past, and they implemented that really well last weekend. And you know, they're a team above all teams, really don't fear Tipperary, you know, and look, I'm partly, myself and Mikey Beavis are partly to blame for that, I suppose, but they will not feel one bit intimidated by Tipperary coming to Welsh Park, and that's the challenge that lies ahead, and you know, we just have to be ready for it, and if we're not, you know, we're going to be in big trouble.
What will you need to bring to Welsh Park in 6 days' time?
Oh, sure, we have to bring everything that wasn't there today. We need to bring massive energy and aggression. The Waterford are a very athletic team. You know, they're up to 18 months ago, they were branded as the second best team in the country. You know, their former manager said whoever beats them goes up the steps of the Hogan Stand. You know, that's the reality of it. The same said person, I haven't heard sign of light for the last 18 months, but that's there, it's in print. They are a serious team, and they've, as I said, the players seem to have found their style now that really suits them, and had them, you know, in an All-Ireland final, semi-final, league, National League title, and they're humming in all cylinders, and we'll just have to be really ready to take them on.
Given what happened last year and the history that's there, is it the perfect game to bounce back from this one?
Oh, sure, look, is there any perfect game? They're all massive games in Munster. It's just an absolute animal pit to try and come out of. And, you know, Welsh Park, Páirc Uí, Tullis, you know, Gaelic grounds, they're all seriously difficult venues to go to. And, like, it's a game we just have to throw off the shackles and have a good think about our personnel for the week. And you know, there'll have to be consequences after today. Some players just didn't run for them, and they're going to have to make way for the next fella to give them a chance. And I know there was a lot of talk during the week about Tip not having a settled team. Like, that's, you know, that doesn't really concern me. Like, we felt we had a very settled team coming in today with the way we trained. We loaded up our team as best we could to tackle Limerick in the areas that we knew they'd give us concern, and put legs and speed into our team, and that's what we'll do. We'll try and do again now for 6 days' time. Everyone.
Is Conor Stakelam an injury?
Conor Stakelam is an injury, yeah.
Barry
Heffernan is an injury, yeah. Conor
played last night for
his club, yeah. I told that these guys that were injured to go play for their clubs last night and get a bit of game time into them. And yeah, look, we'll have to go with whoever is available. We have to pick our best 15 judged off of today as well, and just hope that we have the combination right for what's, as I said, a really difficult match with Waterford.
That's Liam Cahill speaking after events in Limerick yesterday. JJ Kennedy's on the line. Good evening to you, JJ.
Hi, Ronan.
Your thoughts on yesterday and where we go from here, please.
Yeah, well, sure, like everybody else, yesterday was a chastening experience. It had us immediately, I suppose, trawling the records for when this happened before, and, you know, other bad reversals that we had back over the years. And I think somebody has traced 1947 was the last time Limerick beat us by 17 points or something back then. So it's, you know, it's a really heavy hit. It's a very bad performance. I think all of the things that Liam said there, you know, lack of energy, just not at the pace of it. And even when you're a bit off against Limerick, they will hurt you so bad when you're not at it. And I like to phrase hurling with hope, rather than really going at it with aggression. We just didn't have that. And you sense the frustration in his voice as well, that and this has been the case all year, that this is just not happening. Going out against a big team, they seem to be doing fine in training. You know, I suspect my theory, for what it's worth on it, is that, you know, when you're playing in-house games and you're training, you're training against your teammates and you're playing at a particular level, and then you come out and you're hit by Limerick, who are several notches maybe above that level, and you're struggling. And the reality, Ronan, is that we are struggling with the players, with the makeup of the team that we have at the moment. Okay. There's nothing Liam Cahill can do about that, but it's just an inevitable reality. We're in a valley patch after the great era, you know, the remnants of that team was coming on there in the second half yesterday, you know, Noel and Bonner and these guys. And that's where we are. And it's tough and it's hard, and it's kind of
Okay, I'll come back to you in a second, JJ. Tom McGrath is also on the line. Tom, how are you?
Good, Ron.
Tom, Goodish, is a fair answer. I just thought, your thoughts on yesterday. We'll pick up on some more specific themes after you just perhaps give me your takeaways.
Oh, I was mystified and surprised and borderline shocked, I suppose, by the extent of the beat. Like, because, betting all the twas, it could have been worse. Like, I thought this Limerick eased off a bit towards the finish. Did they bring in a sub and he scores 4 points after 8 minutes? Like,
I think I think the injury to Peter Casey took a bit of life out of the game as well when Limerick were clearly on an upward trajectory.
Well, true, I suppose. And I suppose all people wish Peter Casey well and hope to see him back because he's overcome some horrendous injuries so far. Like, but look, that's unfortunate, but it's part of the game. But our situation is we didn't have to cope with things like that. But I thought our work rate...
Tom's gone. JJ, you're still there, I hope.
I'm still here, Owen.
Yeah, okay. So I want to pick up on some things. The lethargy seems to be something that's perplexing Liam. We're just back from warm weather training, excuse me, in Portugal. This game was, excuse me, it was in the diary for a long time. Why are we so leaden on our feet?
Yeah, well, I guess that's what's puzzling Liam and Mikey Bevans and the people that are close to the team. My own theory, I mean, I don't think it's a lack of fitness or anything like that. I just think when you have a team that maybe hasn't, the confidence level isn't great, and they come in against a team like Limerick and they're trying their best and suddenly the match is going against them. And it's very hard to be full of energy and bounce and zip and going after things when that happens to you. You're chasing the game, you're struggling, you're trying to stay in it. I just think that's the way it's gone when we've played Limerick in recent years. We're just not up to their level. We're second best to them, and it eventually wears down the players during the match. And so that by the end of the match, we looked pretty bedraggled, really. You know, no shape to us, and just well beaten. You know, I think as Tom said there, you know, they could have gone for goals, gone for the jugular near the end. They could have beaten us by 20 points or more. I think it's just part of the overall package that we're not good enough, and that's a very harsh thing to say, perhaps. But I think it's the blunt reality, and we need to acknowledge that.
But there's one thing not being good enough, or you know, you're basing yourselves and benchmarking yourselves against the All-Ireland champions. Fair enough, accept that they have better players than we have, but they also have more aggression, they also have more energy, they also have a game plan. Three things I'm not so sure we have right now, and they're three things that you don't have to be super hurlers to have.
Yeah, but I mean, this wasn't, you see, Roland, this wasn't a once-off game. I mean, what's happening to Tipperary at the moment has been signposted since last year, really. And Liam even himself touched on it. He said, you know, there was an initial bounce last year when he came in and they did well in the early rounds of the championship. But from the Waterford match on, the Waterford match was the turning point, and it was carried forward into the Galway match, and it was carried forward through the league campaign this year where we struggled even against Westmeath. And, of course, we saw where we were at in the league semi-final. So this didn't come out of the blue. This has been brewing there for a while in the background. And, you know, and we have to acknowledge, I mean, Limerick, that's 6 or 7 years now or whatever, and they brought it to a level, and they're a particularly athletic team. They're playing green confidence, and they have that physicality, that athleticism, and Bill as well. And it's very difficult. And when teams come up against them and when teams are struggling to try and find their feet, at times teams just look as if they're out on energy. And that's the way it happens.
Tom's back. Tom, I just want to ask you about...
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Don't apologise. You know, what was your... What did you discern to be the game plan yesterday?
I don't want to be cruel to anybody or hard on anybody, but it looked to me as if there wasn't one, or else some guys weren't buying into it. We had situations in the match where we had three men together with the ball on our own 45 or thereabouts. Now, kind of, there was one way of doing it. What way did Limerick play that? They worked it through the hands, through the lines, up along. But no, we hit that ball up to an area where Limerick had the three guys, essentially, that... that should have been marking the three Tipperary lads, or something like that. They three loose men up at the other end. And our puck outs then were going to areas that were loaded with Limerick lads. But the Limerick lads were getting, I think JJ has that there with the energy, that the Limerick lads were getting, and Liam Cahill alludes to as well, Limerick lads were getting to the break of the ball. They were visualising the play two moves ahead of something happening. I mean, that's experience for you, like. And we probably, the management tried different things yesterday, like, and they'll have to have a rethink now for next week, obviously, because like Kazim says, there's six points more to be won, but we're going to have to get four at a minimum anyway, and see where that takes us. But no, like Clare, I think I was at that point when we got cut off, but the energy Clare brought to it was that they knew that they weren't going to be able to stop the Limerick lads physically. So what they did is they stood the half yard off them and depended on their skill levels to dispossess Limerick when Limerick went to play the ball, and succeeded in doing it pretty well. And then they're hurley passing in, and they scattered pretty rapidly when they got the ball themselves. But we weren't doing that, right? Now, what was the plan then after that? I don't know, like. But I mean, we were going grand for 20 minutes. 6 points each, and then suddenly it's 12-6. Like, to that spell is where we went. We conceded freeze, I suppose, yeah. And that's the problem there. Really, it was little section, mini sections of the game where we were hit hard and hit badly hard on the scoreboard as well. Really, but look, it's mysterious, the whole thing, I think.
I mean, JJ, at the start of the second half, I think we at one stage got it back to 4 points, and then they went and hit 2-8. I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
And they did that against Clare. They scored 3-6 to 2 points against Clare, but Clare were 9 points up, which made it look a little different. But you said this, and you're quite right, this didn't come out of the blue. This is what Limerick do. It just seems that our Clare previous week, ourselves yesterday, and maybe Cork the next day, don't have anything to counter that.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I thought, I mean, while we did okay early on in the match, and we started to accuse the lads of not putting in the work and trying their best, early on they seemed to be doing okay, but I always thought it was kind of more containment, more than anything else, that we were just about containing Limerick. And you always, at least I did, had a sense that, you know, this is going to go only one way. We needed to take every chance, you know, and I think of, you know, the lockdowns on Jake, for example, that shouldn't be happening. You know, we needed those points. The few that Jason missed, you know, the few frees, and he missed a few from play in the second half that he'd normally get with his eyes closed. Those sort of things, the goal chance. You need, against a team like Limerick, you need every one of those chances and half chances to go your way. They didn't go our way. And I think it gradually sucked the energy out of us. And when Limerick came then, as they never did, first goal, which was the main point, and then the second goal, and could have added more. You know, it was all down there on. We were absolutely a busted flush at that stage, and there was no way we were going to manage any sort of a half comeback, even.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it went, and it's just the fact of where we're at the moment.
Tom, how does this get rectified in 6 days?
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, you can change. You can still only play 15, and it's 15 out of the same group that have been training all the time, working very hard to put in huge effort into the thing. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of time to it. But, like, it's going to take a bit of smartness, a bit of cuteness, copy the Clare templates, because I think that's the kind of work. The thing of just running for the sake of running around the field, that gains nothing. You have to be running with a purpose. And that's, you focus on, you have to be aware of where the ball is. And I think there's too many of our players are running around the field and they have no awareness of where the ball is at all at any stage. That just seem to be trying to take lads out of the play. But Limerick revert back to their spot, reset, if you like, every opportunity they get. Like, and that's what we're going to have to do. We'll go back to pretty basic stuff and replicate the clear energy they displayed against Limerick, because nothing else is going to do against Watford. Watford are on a high at this stage, and I mean Cork are not shabby either. I mean, Cork had a terrific contest with Clare yesterday, came up a little bit short. Clare had come up very only a small bit short against Limerick the week before. So you draw lines between all them. Well, then based on yesterday, we're a long ways off any of the teams. But I don't think that's really the truth. I think that a certain amount of it can be rectified, but whether it can be rectified a week into top three or Munster or not, it's another day's work.
It's a very difficult draw, JJ. You know, 6 days later, you go into Walsh Park, two away games in a row. And, you know, this is well flagged beforehand. It's not as if this is news to anybody. But it's a lot, big turnaround and serious, I suppose, not so much work on the field required, but perhaps chats in the dressing room required.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I suppose in one sense, you know, 6 days, you've no time to brood over the Limerick match. You have to get straight away. And when you go into training tomorrow night, whenever, they have to have total focus on Waterford and see what we can do there. We've lost the last three championship matches to Waterford. So our record against them in recent years is very poor as well. I'm not so sure. Tom is trying to put an optimistic spin on it, and that's fine. I think we're way down this there, and we're really struggling for anything in this competition at this stage. The way it's panning out at the moment, you'd say Limerick and Clare definitely the top two. Then you have a battle for the third position, and actually at this stage, I think Waterford are in pole position for that. The victory over Cork was huge, and Cork would beat Limerick if they'd have any chance. And it's difficult to see that happening. We have to beat Waterford, and again, that's a tall order at this stage. But you know, it is what it is, and from the players and the players' point of view, all they got to do is do knuckle down, redouble efforts, refocus, try and fire themselves up, and just throw everything at it next week. That's actually what they got to do. Throw off the shackles, like Liam said, and just go at them, and you know, hopefully get a few breaks, and you never know.
Tom, I know you're under pressure for time. I'll leave the last word with you.
Well, you just talk about the breaks, yeah. But you have to make your own breaks. You have to work, anticipate, try and anticipate, guess where the thing is going. But like, thing is, it's work, positive work, like just not working for the sake of working. Get to the pitch of the ball, as Dunphy would say, get the possession and work your scores from that. Like, and you're not going to be going looking for goals all the time. Take points, the points come. And 3 points are an awful easier cut than a goal, but there seems to be this thing of we were trying to go for goals at stages yesterday early in the match when there was a few handy points there to be got. But no, I think I drew a line between the different teams. We are 5th of 5 based on current form, and it's a question of like the dog and the fight and all that type of stuff. Like, we've got to come out fighting now next Saturday below in Waterford, and if you fail in the attempt, fine, but die with your boots on, because it's going to take nothing else is going to do at this stage, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. We've a lot to talk about before we go off air this evening, and we'll talk next week, hopefully in better form.
Okay, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. That's JJ Kennedy and Tom McGrath with their analysis. Just to give you a flavour, I think one of my favourite messages that we've got so far is I don't generally know what to make of yesterday's performance against Limerick. Are Tip fans to be worried, annoyed or confused? I really don't know what to feel at the moment, says Kieran in Boris. Ken Hogan is on line 4. How are you, Ken?
Hi, Ronan.
Your thoughts on yesterday and perhaps some solutions that you might put forward as to what we can do in the next 6 days.
Yeah, well, the lads have articulated their thoughts, you know, and JJ, they're forever the pessimist about the situation. I suppose he's trying to be a realist as well, but from my perspective, solutions are what have got to be put in place, and we're all disappointed about yesterday, but this is a two-game series. We have a big four-pointer game coming up at the weekend, Ronan. Huge game for Tipperary, in my opinion, for the future of the management and the future of the players. And I think we have to refocus and regenerate energy for next weekend. So I'm thinking about Saturday and what we're going to bring to the table as a county. Liam Cahill was very forthright in his views and very honest in his views. And we've got to, you know, stand behind the management and what their thoughts are. But I would say a couple of things. One thing is leadership, Ronan. We need leadership now at this stage. And we have the personnel, you know. Limerick started with 11 of the team that played in the 2018 All-Ireland, which is 6 years ago. We started with 3 of the team that played in the 19 All-Ireland, you know, and the 11 guys, the 4 guys are supplemented by Seamus Flanagan, Mike Casey, who was injured, Graham McCahy, who came on as a sub, and Darragh Donovan, who was injured. So they still have all the 15 personnel since they started this run in Limerick. We were down players yesterday like Cathal Barris, Barry Heffernan, Dan McCormack, three McGraths. You know, Patrick Bonner came in after half time. Conor Stakelam is injured. Sean Ryan has played a good part of the league. We haven't seen him yet. So that's eight or nine personnel straight away that at least the management have, if fit, to play with. And I think, you know, the McGraths, Cathal Barris, Dan McCormack, Ronan, Bonner and these guys will just have to get the lads together this week and say, this is it now, lads. We've got to shake things up. We've got to go at this with all our being.
Well, from the players' point of view, all that hard work that they've put in, and nobody disputes how hard they, and the effort and the honesty of effort that our squad from 1 to 35, 40, whatever it is, puts in. Nobody disputes that. Everyone applauds that. But that effort will be for naught if we perform like that against Waterford and Walsh Park on Saturday.
Yeah, and it comes down to standing up, standing tall. We need to show, we need to take pain for the jersey. It's as simple as that, Roland. We can have all the game plans in the world. We got caught last year with Waterford and we gave up possession, as you remember, in Turles, every puck out. They ran at us and ran at us and we caught a tartar there that day. We've got to push up, Ronan, on their team. We've got to push up on their players, put Waterford under pressure, because if we allow Waterford to run at us, we're in a situation that we're on the back foot straight away. We've got to take the hard hits. We've got to show, again, the player, put the players in pivotal positions. And I'm only giving suggestions here. In my opinion, Roland Maher has got to play centre-back.
Fine, but then who goes three? I mean,
yeah, he's our captain, Ronan. I think he never gave up yesterday. I think he is a launching pad for the team. We've got to play Noel McGrath. We've got to play Patrick Bonner-Maher, because Noel McGrath got Player of the Year last year in Tipperary. People forget this. They're talking about age and, you know, years and the legs and things like that. But Noel McGrath, Bonner-Maher, these guys, Dan McCormack, they're all younger than John Conlon. They're younger than TJ Reid, Patrick Horgan, Seamus Harnsey. And we have this thing in Tipperary, you know, that we write players off at 31, 32 years of age. That shouldn't happen. And these are guys that have gone through the mill, they know how to eke out results. And we don't need wholesale changes, Ronan. You know, you can't do that. And Liam Cahill can't do that. But he needs to tweak the team. He needs to change the team. He needs to re-energise the team. And I think, you know, Alan Tynan, who had a marvellous game last year against Limerick, you know, at midfield for Tip, you know, I think we need his energy in the middle of the park. We need drive. We need people that are going to take on this Waterford team. Waterford will be highly fancied. They'll have a huge home crowd. Waterford written off last day. Now Waterford in a totally different scenario in the fact that they're going to be hot favourites going into the game, Ronan. So we have got to rise from the ashes and, you know, show the passion that people, that the crowd appreciate in Tipperary, the hunger, the guts, and the ability to take pain, Ronan, the ability to take the hard hit.
But is that not easier said than done? You know, it's kind of like, I fully accept what you're saying, that this is what has to happen. But going in and telling a bunch of lads, this is what has to happen, there's a difference between just uttering it, articulating it, and getting them to deliver that on the pitch. Because I feel they want to cut loose, throw off shackles, use any simile you want. But there is something that's just not working collectively, and a collective failure, player management, side, backroom team, everything is responsible. And I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah, well, this is a good group of players. I don't go with the idea that we're not simply good enough. You know, we've won 2 minor All-Irelands. We've won 20 All-Irelands. We've won 21 All-Irelands, actually, with you know, some of this management team. So from our perspective, the players are there. I think it's all about, delegating the leadership to the players to take this on themselves, to give them the idea that they've got to grasp the nettle. They've got to show that drive and aggression and that will to win that you need, you know, when you play in Championship hurling. You know, I stressed before to you, it's a four-pointer. This is a four-pointer game. And whoever comes out of Walsh Park with a victory has a huge opportunity to get through, you know, to the All-Ireland series. And that's what it's all about. But I've listed the personnel there that have been missing through one, reason or another. But certainly we have a number of players that have still, we have, you know, they played in that 2019 All-Ireland that have still a huge amount to contribute to this team to bring him through what will be a cauldron, you know, in Welsh Park on Saturday evening.
Yeah, it will. And we look forward to your thoughts on Saturday afternoon and indeed next Monday night, Ken. Thanks for your thoughts and time tonight.
Yeah, and we can't be downcast.
No, I know.
We just have to go at this. We've got to go at this now with all we have, you know. Yeah.
Okay, I take that point. Thanks indeed, Ken.
Cheers, Ronan.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's Ken Hogan and his thoughts. Let's stay with this. And it'll be interesting to get the thoughts of Shane McGrath, who's online too. Shane, how are you?
Well,
on the farm. Before we come to it, I just want to ask you a personal question, really, and that's about 2010 when we lost the opening round to Cork, down in Cork. I'm sure you remember it well. We were in a low ebb. We went on and won the All-Ireland. How was that turned around? How was that dressing room reinvigorated from that pretty very gut-wrenching defeat to Cork? I think when the whole Halpines went to town on us that day, and then we were able to get the get back on the horse and get back on track. How did we do that?
It wasn't nothing really magic, to be honest. We just had a good chat amongst ourselves because we knew it couldn't get any worse, Ronan. And we knew there was only one way this could go. None of us performed. Like, you can't keep looking out to the sideline. Well, we couldn't that day. Like, we couldn't blame anyone on the sideline that day. Like, he could have taken off 15 lads that day if he wanted lean. But we just knew ourselves it couldn't get any worse. We knew maybe what we were doing coming up to it wasn't just good enough, and maybe that was just to kick up the arse we needed, really, you know. And
so was it player led, I think is my question.
I think the management, they knew that we knew as a group of players it wasn't good enough. It wasn't anywhere near good enough of what standards we had set over the few years before that. And as I said, we knew it could only go one way, it could only get better, you know, start. And that just happened automatically in training. We just started pushing each other a bit more, just maybe started telling each other a few home truths and calling out each other and things. And just because it was a good group too, Ronan, I suppose there was real leaders everywhere there.
If you had a knockout game 6 days afterwards, would there have been sufficient time to do that? And you know where I'm going with this.
Probably. It's hard to know. But I know where you're going with it, like, I suppose, but I just feel, look, from talking to people on, like, even today, you know, people who've gone to kit matches a long time, different generations, and I just think that it wasn't that we lost, it was just maybe the manner in which we lost. I mean, we know in life and in sport we're probably going to lose more than we win, but it was just maybe the manner in which we lost. Maybe we didn't die with our boots on.
Well,
and David, I haven't heard now what lads said you there the last maybe half an hour, so forgive me now if I'm repeating what people said, but I just think that, like, tip people, like, they just want everyone to give everything or give as much as they can for as long as they possibly can. And I think that's what we need now. Like, that's what we're going to have to get in Welsh Park at the weekend. We're just going to have to get an answer. You know, we're just going to have to get a response to what happened yesterday. Like, you know, we went down yesterday, like, granted, to maybe potentially after this year the greatest hurling team ever. But again, it was just maybe the manner in which it happened. Liam Pell referred to maybe a lack of energy, things like that. So, you know, I mean, we're just going to have to go at this and watch it. Whoever, for me, like, do you go with the same guys? Like, I don't know.
Give them a chance to atone.
Yeah, I don't know who the other guys are, Ronan.
Yeah,
to be honest, I don't know who the, if people are saying, you know, that it has to be a different team. Who are the other 15 like?
Yeah,
I don't know who they are. They're not. This is who we have now. This is our group, and you know we have a few. You know, maybe Kyle Barrett might feature now.
And Dan might come in and add something different. But other than that, you're not changing a huge amount. And I'm like, there's no bigger fan of Noel McGrath than me. But I now know whether Noel can do that.
Ronan,
can do that for 70 minutes. You know, I don't know.
How we cannot ask Noel McGrath or Bonner Maher to do any more than what they've already done in their careers.
I agree.
So like. They'll come in and they'll do their bit, but this is not on them now. This is on a different group. And we just, like, win, lose or draw, whatever the result is in Welsh Park, obviously it probably has to be a win, really. They just, like, people just want an honesty. Like, and I think if we got that, if we just get and just throw the shackles off, we nearly looked. I was actually down in Cork yesterday on the radio, and it's funny, like, I was in Parky Creeve, I ended up watching the match with Bubbles because he was doing GA Go and I was on the radio for RT, and we just ended up watching the match together in the premium. And that's like, you're just looking on, and as soon as Galen's goal goes in, it's so deflating. But like, like just want a real, you know, just throw the shackles off. From watching it even on the telly yesterday, speaking to my brother who was at tonight, it looked like we were afraid to make mistakes. And you just cannot be like that against Limerick. And hopefully now we'll just go out next weekend and we'll just throw the shackles off. And we'll just go at this thing. That's what Waterford did a couple of weeks ago. They looked, they seemed like a team that just threw the shackles off. And maybe we just go at it. And Liam Cahill and Mikey Beamans and all the management team and all the players in there, like, nobody went out to play bad. It happened. I think the frustration lies with what looked to be like there just wasn't this kind of do anything, die with your boots on kind of attitude, kind of, you know, throwing, you lost your hurley, you're going to throw your arms out and you're going to block a lad down with your hand because, you know, that's what we're about.
The Paddy Mar School of Hurling,
There's loads of them there, but look, that's all we want, Ronan. Like, you know, I think if we got that, I think people would be just put a bit of pride back into things honesty and effort. Like.
We previewed the game last week, obviously, and we were referencing the championship match against Limerick last year in Semple, where we probably played better than Limerick and came away with a draw, albeit a late equalising draw. But there were factors that kind of went against us a little bit that day. It was a game we could have won, I think, is the point. The gulf in those two performances between Semple 12 months ago and Limerick yesterday is vast.
Oh, yeah, but like, I mean, like, we get the stats there for the radio, Ron, and then, like, just like Limerick scored 117 from turning us over yesterday, from, like, you know, different turnovers throughout the game. Like, I mean, like, when we had the ball, like, if you take Barry Hogan poked out the ball 42 times yesterday, right? And he went long with 27 of them. Now, 15 of them going short, you expect to win that. But to go along with 27 of them, and we still won 71% of them. So I'm saying, like, when we had the ball, sometimes we were using it well, but it was in possession then. We were just getting turned over so easily. We were losing the ball. They were going up the field and they were nailing us. Like, and look, that third quarter, like, we lost that third quarter by 10 points. Limerick scored 2-7 in 9 minutes of the third quarter. And that's their lives. You know, it was game over.
Yeah,
game over for the final quarter.
Championship minutes, so look, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's it. And look, that just can't happen again. And that just goes down to, you could have tactics and you could have video analysis and everything, but it just will come down to, I just want to win this ball more than that guy down in Walsh Park. And I think if we do that, and whoever the lucky 15 are to get out in the field and do it, I don't think there's very little motivation should be needed this week. It should be just not good enough, guys. Like you know, maybe go back to the old style stuff. I'm still fairly young myself, but you know, the jersey, like you know, you want to come in and leave the jersey in a better place. That's all you want to do, like, and you just have to have just pride in it, you know, the badge, everything. Like, there's very little needs to be said, I think, to the lads who are going to start against Waterford. It should be, like, we just have to want this more now. Are we good enough hurlers? Yes, we are. Are we all earned contenders? No, we're not right now. But you know what? There's still 6 points up for grabbing the Munster Championship. We can still do this. And if we don't do it, fair enough. But at least just show to people that, you know, you really, really want this, like, you know, with your desire to win the ball, with your effort, with your honesty. And I just think maybe that's where the frustration is coming for some people yesterday, that they just didn't see that in the team that was on the field. That's probably my opinion on it, Ron.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, everything you've said. And, you know, it seems to me, from to summarise what you're saying, is it has to come from within, the panel themselves, because I made this point, you know, earlier on tonight, that nobody doubts what they've done over the winter months. Nobody doubts what they've done over the last couple of years to be on that panel. You don't want that to be for naught, that effort, those winter nights, all that sort of stuff that they've done and sacrifice and the massive sacrifice they've made in their lives. I just want them to get some reward for it. And I'm not, you know, that's basically where I am with it.
Roland, I was involved we felt was a good tip group. You know, we had good, great days. And I tell you, we took some hammerings as well. But, you know, I think it's how we responded maybe was often what maybe got the tip public behind us. You know, like, I mean, I remember being up in 2012, All Ireland semi-finals with Kenny.
Yeah.
What a hammering we got.
But I remember it well.
You're trying to bounce back from these things. And look, we had to wait a whole year to try and get a bounce back. The boys are 6 days now. I know what you're saying, it's a hard turnaround, but you know what? I think this is the best thing. This is going to be out of their system by 8 or 9 o'clock Saturday night, and hopefully we'll have 2 points on the board, and maybe people will just really get back behind this team again, because they're good enough, they're training hard, nobody goes out to play bad. let's just throw the shackles off now Saturday night and give this a real good go.
Shane, it's really good talking to you again, my friend, and we'll probably touch base as the championship goes on, but there's a lot of hurling left to be played. Thanks for your time and your passion. Your call to arms. Thanks indeed.
No matter.
Thanks indeed. Shane McGrath there. And it's interesting to get insights as to how they turned that around, I think, in 2010, because I couldn't help but feel yesterday that we're in some sort of a similar place. John Ryan, the minor Camogie manager, is on line 3. Good evening to you, John. How are you?
Hi, Ronan. How are you doing?
I'm well. I want to congratulate you and your panel and your backroom staff on a super, super win in All-Ireland Minor title in Nolan Park. And, you know, you did it with some style, John. I've got to give you that.
Yeah, we got a good start, Ronan. When you know yourself, a good start is a half the battle. We got a very unusual start, actually. Lucy Purcell got a two-pointer from a lying ball, which I haven't seen all year or even last year. And it was a great start. And we added another point to it, and shortly after we got a goal. And we got another 1-1 after that, which put us 2-4 to no score up. So it was a dream start for us, you know, and it made it difficult for Waterton.
What I think must have pleased you most, and I was only listening to the commentary here on Tip FM, but the analyst on Tip FM, her name escapes me, forgive me, but she did say, it looks like Tip are chasing the game, such as the way they're hassling and chasing and not giving any of the Waterford girls time on the ball. And we were kind of comfortably ahead at this point, but at no point did I get the impression that the foot was coming off any accelerator.
No, and this is testament to all the coaches. You know, we're doing this in training. What you do in training normally comes back out on the field. And I have to say, these girls worked incredibly hard. They were through the grinder now. I mean, just because they were girls, they weren't given any preferential treatment or taken out there. Do the hard work. They did the hard work and paid off. And, you know, it was testament to them that they never give up. They never stopped, and their fitness levels were at a good level as well.
Yeah. How important was that semi-final win? Or, you know, did that galvanise them, do you think, a little bit, or were they just a tight group even before that?
Yeah, we had a tight group before that. This group has been together. You know, we were in number 16 All-Ireland final 2 years ago with a lot of this group. And we have learned a lot from that, and we've matured a lot from there. But they were always a tight group. Yeah, of course, winning the semi-final and winning the semi-final in the manner that we did always cements the team and cements the squad together. But they've been hardworking. They've been doing this all year, you know, and it was no surprise to me that, you know, when the going got tough, we were able to manage it.
Let's bring on another Upper Church man. Stephen Gleeson was on commentary duty yesterday. How are you, Stephen?
Evening, Roland. Good, thanks.
Yeah, that was a really, really powerful win, and there was only ever going to be one winner from your commentary.
Ah, look, it was a fantastic day, and absolutely, Tipperary started just like, you know, one of those Japanese bullet trains. It was just go for goals, go for points, get the scores on board, and Waterford were a bit shell-shocked at the start with the start that Tip had, because 2-4 to no score before Waterford really got into the game. And I mean, at that point you had Lucy Purcell striking a sideline over the bar. That was worth 2 points in minor Camogie, and that just gave Tip a real boost going in towards half time. Now when Waterford settled into it, Ronan, you know, they were a different type of animal altogether. They really got going. Maggie Gostel, super firm at centre forward. She kind of helped to kick start it, and they got back to 3 points before the break. They struck, and then second half, you know, it was over and back between both teams. But Tipperary had a real spirit, I thought, Ronan, you know, and like John spoke of it there, and some of the players after the match, they trained 65 times, you know, to get to that day and to be ready when they got the opportunity to win the All-Ireland, and that's what it takes. And, yeah, you know, Tipperary did it. It's a magnificent performance and a super result for a great bunch.
And John, just to leave the last word with you, it's been a good fortnight for Tipperary Camogie. That national title in Crow Park for girls who hadn't won a senior national title going back a long, long time. Mary Ryan, God, soldiering with Tip Camogie for 20-something years nearly, and finally gets her hand on a national medal. It just all feeds into a good a feel-good factor that seems to be pervading Tipperary Camogie right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, the seniors are leading the way, you know, and have done for the last couple of years. We have three minors from last year on the senior panel this year. And please God, at the end of this year or early next year, we have three or four more going in. And if you have a conveyor belt of young ladies coming onto the squad, especially coming from having achieved something like winning a Munster and All-Ireland titles, they will have confidence and they will bring a new confidence into the squad with them because they will want to keep going. They will want to keep achieving, you know, and they feel that there's the nucleus of a very good team there with the seniors at the minute, and as well as that, the junior team, you know, they're going well, and they got into the intermediate final, even though they're playing as a junior competition in the championship. So everything is feeding into that. So, you know, it's all looking very good for us. You know, still a lot of work to do for Dennis and the lads, but I mean they're well capable and they're leaving no stone unturned to achieve more titles.
John, many congratulations to you and your squad, and we look forward to chatting to you as this progresses, but it's a really good story, and thanks for your time tonight.
No problem. Thank you, Ron.
Indeed,
thank
that's you. Stephen Gleeson and John John Ryan. God almighty, his name wouldn't come to me from Upper Church. My thanks to them both for their time tonight, and that's a really good win for them. 2-9 to 10 points, Tipperary winning an All-Ireland Minor A Camogie title in Nolan Park. Happy hunting ground, isn't it, Nolan Park, all of a sudden for us. Tony Smith is on the line. Tipperary ladies also winning this weekend. How are you, Tony?
Good, Ryan.
The lady footballers took on Waterford. Now, just to put this in context for people, we're a Division 2 team, and we had a checkered, up-and-down kind of league campaign. Waterford are a Division 1 team and have been sort of, you know, they've been operating at a level above us for a couple of years at this point. So it's a significant scalp.
It is. I mean, in fairness to Waterford, they've always been competitive in Division 1 and they've always been competitive in the Senior Championship. But it was a game that, you know, we did win it and I think we deserved it overall to win the game.
They've had a challenging enough league campaign themselves in Cork. Aren't at the pitch that they would have been at before. That said, this is a team backboned by some Ballymac girls. They're used to winning.
They are, and Waterford have had the same group of players now for quite some time. And they've always been difficult for Tip, even when we'd have considered ourselves to have very good teams. We've always found it difficult to play against Waterford. But, I mean, Waterford have survived in Division 1. I mean, Cork and Galway got relegated, and they were very unlucky the previous week to lose by Cork by 2 points. You know, so from our point of view, it was a very, very significant win. And it also has implications for the All-Ireland series because what group you go into depends on where you finish in Munster.
Okay, so you could get an easier group if you're seated higher, is that
true? Well, I think from our point of view, Ronan, they all look difficult. But as it stands at the moment, the bottom team in Munster is going to be in a group with the winners in Munster and the runners-up in Ulster. Whereas if you come third in Munster, you're in with the Ulster champions and the Leinster runners-up. So I don't know, take your pick. But the reality is that next Saturday's game with Cork is in effect the Munster semi-final.
Yeah, and so Shane Ronan is the Cork manager. They went down to Kerry. They haven't had a good league campaign, Cork. Shane Ronan knows lots about Tip. It'll be an interesting one.
Well, it'll be very interesting. And he made a few interesting changes for the match against Kerry too. He rested some of his frontline players. So I don't know what that was all about. But I've no doubt they'll all be there next Saturday.
Well, anyway, it's a big, big game. My thanks for you for giving your time tonight, Tony, and we look forward to chatting to you next week.
Thanks very much, Ronan.
Not at all. That's Tony Smith. And let's just give you a flavour of some of the texts that have come in. I wouldn't obviously have an opportunity to get to all of them. We'll bounce back, says one texter. If Antrim can turn it around, then so can we. Antrim, bear in mind, conceded 5:30 to Kilkenny in the opening round of the Leinster Championship and then went and defeated Wexford at the weekend. So that's not a bad turnaround from Antrim. So congratulations to Darry Egan up there. Gleeson. Darry Gleeson, my apologies. On his turning Antrim around in such a very impressive style. JJ is right. It's just a continuation of last year against Waterford and Galway. I don't think they're good enough, says Pat. And somebody else has well said, Shane McGrath. He should give the pre-match speech in the dressing room on Saturday evening. Somebody else says, I think we're afraid to take control of the game yesterday, waiting for Limerick lads to win a ball so we can chase them rather than fighting for every ball like it's your right to have it. I think we will click yet, but I also think our supporters need to get behind them. We were totally outnumbered yesterday. When we scored, we didn't even get a clap. Subs didn't get any respect coming on or off the pitch. Everyone has a part to play to get us back to where we need to be, both on and off the field. More effort from everyone will change everything, in this texter's opinion. Barry Ryan's on the line. How are you, Barry?
How are you, Ronan?
Busy night, so we'll be flying through these if you don't mind, because we have some Tipperary Cup action, which probably took centre stage, the quarterfinals. I suppose the standout fixture was in the complex where St Michael's made the trip to Clonmel to take on Clonmel Town. They were comfortable victors, 5-0, but Clonmel Town shouldn't be losing 5-0 at home.
No, look, that brings the season to an end at Clonmel Town, and look, everybody associated with the club will be glad to have got to that stage of the season. Now, a really, really disappointing result, but look, we're under no illusion of where everything is at as a club. But the one thing I would say, a lot of things have happened in recent weeks in terms of a football committee has been set up. There's huge strides going on behind the scenes, and I think people are going to see a very, very different Clonmel Town in the coming weeks and months. And I would just put that on record now. There's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of positivity happening there. This has been a difficult season, but huge credit to Jonathan O'Donoghue stepping in to steer the ship for the last few months. A lot of people wouldn't have fancied that, but did superbly well and picked up a lot of very good results along the way, and surprising results.
Yeah, indeed, and we look on with interest when that development and that project gets underway. Clonmel Celtic look like they're hungry for silverware as well. They're into the semi-final.
Yeah, look, the semi-finals, Clonmel Celtic are at one side left in the competition. With all due respect to Tipperary and Cashel, you know, having really good ends to the season themselves as well. But Celtic might be the team you'd say, I wonder, could they give St. Michael's a difficult game in a semi or a final? Because Clonmel Celtic have had such a good run in the FAI Junior Cup as well. They would see this as an opportunity at silverware.
Yeah, and Tumal Boris, as you say, they got through penalties against Care Park. It finished 2-2, but Boris winning 4-3 in penalties.
Yeah, significant scalp for Tipperary because Care have been up at the top end of the Premier League challenging all season and probably would have said, you know, we're not going to win the Premier League, but we could have a right go at this Tip Cup. And they also had home advantage. So for Boris to go down and win that game. But the one thing I'd highlight, Jamie Lee banging in another 2 free kicks. He's added so many goals. I think it's his 13th goal of the season. He is a player that has just emerged in the last, well, he's always been there, but in the last few months, he's really become the go-to guy at Tipperary. He was playing left wing back in the last couple of seasons, but he's more advanced now on the left wing, and I think that suits him much better.
And as you said, Cashel Town defeating Clonmel Celtic probably predictably, but when that draw is made, I don't know if it's made yet. It'll be interesting to see. You know, you could have Care Park or Tumal Boris against Cashel Town. One of them might get to a final.
Yeah, and that's what they'll all be wanting. They'll want to avoid St. Michael's because I've said it so many times, the Tipperary Cup final is a brilliant fixture in the TSGL. It's played on a Friday or a Saturday evening, coming towards the good weather and the nice evenings. It draws a huge crowd. And for Cashel Town or Tumal Boris or Clonmel Celtic to be in a Tipperary Cup final at the end of the season is a real reward for the slog through the winter.
Yeah, indeed. Just finally, any significance in that Tip Town win over Banty Celtic in terms of the bottom of the table?
Huge significance. Once again, I'm motivating people, Ronan. I basically relegated Tipperary Town on the programme last week. And what did they do immediately? They go and turn it on its head and beat Banjo. So now there's only 2 points between the sides with 2 games to go.
Yeah.
And Tipperary Town play Wilderness Rovers. And with all due respect to Wilderness, Tipperary Town would be heavy, heavy favourites in that game, which would then mean that Banjo are going to have to get a result from their last 2 games, which are a home to Peak Villa and away to Care. 2 really, really difficult fixtures. So the narrative looks very, very different all of a sudden.
Might need you in the dressing room in Walsh Park next Saturday afternoon if you're free. But anyway, look, Barry, thanks.
Do you want me to give a quote on Tipperary?
No, okay. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Take care, Barry. That's Barry Ryan with news of the TSDL, which is coming to a conclusion. Just before I go off air tonight, the Friends of Tipperary Football annual golf classic will take place in Dundrum on Friday and Saturday, the 3rd and 4th of May. The format, once again, is a champagne scramble, and the cost of a team of 4 is €160. T-Box sponsorship also available for €50. To book a tea time, please contact the Friends of Tipperary Football. Just before, let's go back to some of the texts. Well done, Ken, says somebody. That's the best analysis I've heard, says Liam. Somebody else says Ronan Marr has to go to 6. Alan Tynan and Willie O'Connor have to go to midfield. Hard workers with intent. Somebody else says, let me keep going. Some I can't read, obviously. Carl Barrett played a county league game at the weekend, played well by all accounts. Why is he not in the team? The reason, I think that was dealt with by Liam in his interview at the start of the show is that he just doesn't have enough game time, and he was, with Liam's blessing, went off and played that County League match just to get some time into him, and who, that might just be a wonder stroke if we have Carl free and maybe even to play some part next Saturday afternoon. Somebody else says, this is the best we have. Tipper better than that. I think Tipperary hurling is in a pretty bad state. Now the penny has dropped. Can everyone please get behind Liam Cahill, the players? None of our players or management go out to play a bad game. They make high sacrifices. Liam Cahill is the right man to bring on Tipperary, and onwards and upwards. That is all we have time for. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, next Monday night. Take care, good night, and good luck.
Extra Time on Tip FM, brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Owen Dillon Nina, REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel, and REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel. Multi-award winning wedding specialists with state-of-the-art leisure facilities and spa, with food served daily.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
The Galty Sessions with Therese McInerney. Back